So Jesus has got this in his mind, and throughout this journey, he is doing all these things to equip his disciples and to teach the people so that they can carry on when he's gone. So ultimately, he is leading them to the coming of the Holy Spirit. So his disciples are witnessing all these things, and they're hungry for more. So as we come into Luke 11, they have just seen Jesus go off to pray. They've watched him pray, and then when he comes back, they ask him this question. They say, "Jesus, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So they've seen Jesus praying, and they want to know how they can do that too, how they can communicate with the Father the way Jesus does. And I wonder if at this point, after having seen all these things and seen Jesus pray regularly, if they're beginning to realize that prayer is the key to his relationship with the Father. So Jesus responds in verses 2-4 with quite a practical outline of what they can say. He gives us the sort of condensed version of the Lord's Prayer, if you like, and that's what we see there. But he doesn't just stop there with those practical guidelines. He goes on to tell them a couple of stories that teach of an attitude and teach how we can approach prayer, and how we can also, through that attitude and that approach, how we can approach the Father. And those attitudes and approaches will ultimately let them go deeper with God and release the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So it's this attitude of boldness and of persistence that I just want us to think about a little bit more, in a bit more detail. And how do we expect God to react when we pray, when we ask for things? And how do we approach him as a father? So first of all, I just want to focus in on the generosity of the Father. What can we expect from him as we pray? How can we expect him to treat us? So I just wanted to hone in on the words that Jesus uses in verses 2-4, the words he uses in the Lord's Prayer. And first of all, he calls God his Father in heaven. Now that's a term of familiarity. It's a picture of someone who's kind, someone who's loving, but also someone who disciplines. Then he says, "Hallowed by thy name." His name is to be kept holy. So this teaches us that he is set apart, he is pure, and he is just. And then, "Your kingdom come." That teaches us that God is a king. He is sovereign. And he is sovereign over all things. So all these words are used by Jesus to build this picture of God, of who God is, of who we're praying to. And it teaches us how we can expect God to treat us just as much as how we can approach him. And later in the passage, in verses 11 to 13, Jesus says this: "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" How much more? That's a rhetorical question. It's beyond words. Here in this passage, the "how much more" is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. But it tells us so much about the God we pray to and his heart for us. So that's what I want to linger on for the rest of this short message. I want us to linger on that thought of how much more. Hopefully this will explain a little bit about my picture up there. So when I read these words and I was thinking about them, I just kept saying, "How much more, how much more?" And that's what really, really struck me from this passage. And it brought a picture to my mind. It shows you a little bit how my mind works. But it brought a picture to my mind of the kingdom of God being like the best all-inclusive package ever. And it's there. Through Jesus, we have access to it. But I wonder sometimes, do we make the most of that opportunity? So first of all, I want to find out if anyone has ever been on an all-inclusive holiday. Has anyone ever been on an all-inclusive holiday package? Right, okay, so some of you. So the idea of these things is that you pay one price, and that includes your flights, your accommodation, your food, your drink, access to all the things on the resort. So they've got swimming pools, they've got restaurants, they've got bars, they've sometimes got spas, all these kind of things, and it's all included in that one price, the one price to have it all approach. This is actually an advert that I found for an all-inclusive package. So there you go. That's where that came from. Now, there are some resorts where there are some hidden extra costs. But there is one particular holiday company that advertises that there are no hidden costs. I won't say the name because I'm not here to advertise them. However, if you want to go on a, like, have a spa treatment for this particular holiday company, that's included in your price. And all these other little things. So they advertise that there's no hidden costs, and literally everything on that resort is included for that one price. And the phrase they use to advertise their holidays is to live unlimited. It is an American company. It's a really bad accent. So this is the kind of image that was conjured up in my mind as I thought about these words in verse 13. How much more? I saw the Kingdom of God resort, the promised land, the best all-inclusive package ever, just waiting for God to lavish his blessings upon us, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit just waiting for us to seek them out. Now, when you book into one of these resorts, you usually get some kind of wristband or some pass that shows that you're entitled to be there and that you have access to all these things. And to me, it was like Jesus is our wristband. Jesus has paid that price for us. Jesus has paid that one price for us to have it all. He is like our wristband that gives us access to all those areas. And the Holy Spirit is like, bear with me, our holiday rep. He is our enabler. He is the one that can show us round. He is the one that gives us those things when we get there. And through prayer, we can access this resort. We can ask for that drink or for that food or that thing that we need to get us through today. We can seek out the pool or the tranquil garden on the other side of the resort. We can see what beauty God has for us. And the best thing is, we can keep going back for more. It's life unlimited. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that being a follower of Christ is like a holiday. We all know that it's difficult and comes with great challenges. We're all going to experience pain and suffering in one way or another through our lives. But I do believe that our attitude and how we approach the Father through those times, how we spend quality time with him in prayer, is key to living that life as unlimited by the world as possible. And to stop those things bringing us down and overpowering us. So how do we approach this awesome resort, this Kingdom of God resort? So firstly, do you have your wristband? Do you know the price Jesus has paid for you? Do we have our wristbands on, but we just hang around in the lobby area, reading the map and looking where we could go, but not actually going there? Now, the lobby's a nice place to hang out, don't get me wrong. This is the Kingdom of God resort. But you're not going to find that much there. Are we walking around the grounds, trying to find different things? Can we see other people walking around with ice creams and drinks and thinking, oh, how did they get those? But do we ask them? Do we ask them to share their experiences? Do we seek out our Holy Spirit to help show us the way to the bar? I'm just not sure that's theologically sound. But you know what I mean, hopefully. Do we feel overwhelmed by the lavishness of the resources that are there? Because we feel as though we just don't deserve it. Do we feel like we've not paid enough to be there, to be given these amazing things? Do we feel unworthy of that generosity on offer? So the wristband will get you in, but you still need to go to the bar and ask for that drink. You still need to walk around the resort to find the different areas. The restaurant's there, but you need to book in if you want to eat there tonight. And the truth is that whatever we feel about prayer, whether we find it easy or whether we find it difficult, God is constant, and his kingdom is always there. He is always faithful, and he wants to lavish good things upon us. How much more? So let's just quickly hop back to verses 9 and 10. Some verses that Kathy focused on in her talk, if you can think back to that one, about persistence. And it says this: "And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." So I'd like to encourage you this morning to put on your wristband and pray for those all access all area prayers. Lean into the Father and explore what he has for you. Be bold and be persistent, and don't be afraid, because he promises us good things. And heading into our 24-1 prayer next weekend, take the opportunity to just dwell in him. Take the opportunity to dwell in the Kingdom of God resort and explore it. Go to places you've not been before. Seek out that Holy Spirit holiday rep. Look on Jesus and see what an amazing gift he has given us. Life in all its fullness. Ask, seek, knock. One price. Jesus has paid one price, so we can have it all. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?